Well, we have some very interesting group in here this morning that I want to tell you guys all about. They're right here in Norristown. This is Norristown Men of Excellence. And, gentlemen, it's wonderful to have you both in studio this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Norristown Men of Excellence is founded in 2011.
Yes.
Okay, and this is a relatively new group. But let me just read you. I'm looking at their website. Their website is NMOE, Norristown Men of Excellence, 19401, the zip code, right?
Yes.
19401.org, zip code for Norristown there. NMOE 19401.org. And let me just read to you the about section on their website. It's founded on August 30th, 2011, was incorporated on October 1st, 2011. And Norristown Men of Excellence is comprised of a group of men who are dedicated to serve the greater Norristown area in serving as positive male role models and citizens. Norristown Men of Excellence strives to promote and create a thriving and successful community in every aspect of life. Norristown Men of Excellence is made up of a diverse group of Norristown area high school alumni that have strong ties to the greater Norristown community. Each individual brings a particular skill set, passion, and desire to build a better tomorrow for the community and its residents. I think that's a wonderful description of what you're doing in our community. So tell us a little bit about Norristown Men of Excellence, and I read the description there. But let's hear it directly from you. What is Norristown Men of Excellence to you?
Want to start first, Greg?
Yeah, I can start. So similar to our what you just described, we a bunch of former Norristown alum who were educated through the Norristown Area School District system. We went to further our education. Most of the members are former athletes who went to college and came back. And our president, Trey Hadrick, he came up with this great idea of, hey, there's a void in the community right now. We need to figure out how we can fill this void. And all of us came back from school. We were ready. We were eager to help. And basically, we decided to come together and band and form this organization, just helping out the community through different programs, through different events, and with a focus on a community, not just kids, not just adults, focus on giving back and helping the community as a whole. So to me, Norristown Men of Excellence is a void filler. It's a void filler, and it's also a thing that we just really, really rally around it and appreciate. And you can feel the love that we receive actually within the community.
Now, when you talk about a void filler, what are you talking? Now, your founder,
yes,
believed that I was filling a void. What was he getting at then?
Just leadership within the community. Guys who kind of grew up in the same area as the folks that we're actually serving. So grew up in the greater Norristown area, went and furthered their education and are good citizens. I think that's what we're trying to say as far as filling the void. There weren't a ton of that when we came back. Individuals. Even though Norristown community is great, we just felt like there was somewhat of a need to have more men like us within the community.
So Doug, how did Norristown change, you think, when you left and you came back?
Oh, well, when I left and came back, I mean it there were definitely some changes. I would say the kids, I don't necessarily say that they changed, but just the community, it kind of changed. Some good, some bad, but again, we just felt like, hey, we're back in town, we're willing to help, let's do this and let's get together.
So what are some of the things that Norristown Men of Excellence does in the community then?
Some of the things that Norristown community, we have a bunch of events that we actually put on throughout the year. Starting this Saturday, one of the events that we're holding is a free football clinic for youth from K to 12. It's free. The parents, all they have to do is just drop their kids off, sign off on a waiver, and they will be there from 9 to 3 p.m. on Saturday at Norristown Area High School.
And if I can just inject in that, so during the clinic, it's run from 9 to 2, I believe. We'll be getting the kids will be getting instruction from former athletes, basically from former Division I and Division II athletes.
Really?
Yep. Most of the guys have played football at some collegiate level within the group. You'll be receiving instruction from us, and also we're teaming up with the high school coach, Jason Powell, Coach Powell, over at the Norristown Area High School. That's where actually the event will be held, at the high school this week.
Excellent. At the high school. And then what time is that going to be at?
It's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
9 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm guessing, there's no cost. You just come on out at 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Norristown Area High School football clinic. That sounds so. Did you guys play football yourselves in college?
Yeah, we played a little football.
Played a little football. What'd you guys? So wait a minute. What positions you guys play? I got to know.
So I played center. Well, actually, in high school, I played guard and defensive tackle, and then I went on to play football at East Carolina University. Played center for 4 years, and then
likewise, I played running back for Norristown High School, cornerback.
You look like a running back.
I attended Syracuse University.
I don't know what it is. Running backs have that look about them. It's just something that they carry with them. All right. So Syracuse?
Yeah, Syracuse University, where I started off as a running back, and then I made the transition to defense my sophomore year and played corner and safety.
Really? That's quite a transition, going from running back to defensive, to the backfield, essentially. The different backfield, yeah. Right?
The transition of how you see the field is totally different from, being on the offensive side and seeing the whole field, and going from defense and seeing only part of the field and being in that small 5-yard box, what they call it, and kind of managing that.
So pretty much all the members of Norristown Men of Excellence in some form or fashion have been to college. And have been back. I mean, I'm looking at the website, different backgrounds. You guys have backgrounds in healthcare, hotel management, education, social services, construction, entrepreneurship, athletics, insurance, fashion and design, information technology. It just keeps on going. Really to serve as good role models. Go ahead.
Yep. Really diverse group of folks. I would say the majority of the folks that we have, majority of the members have actually attended college or attended some secondary schooling within the group. We have the football clinic, which we talked about. We also have three other core events that we actually put on throughout the year. We also have an awards banquet, and that's actually held in December. And that's, I guess, an event that we put together, and it's actually hosted at the Westover, And that's an event that we have, and we honor the folks within the community by giving anyone who's, performed extremely well within the community. We have an athletic award. We have several awards that we give out, and that's actually just honoring the folks who are really, really strong within the community. And we have that every year. I think this was our fourth annual awards banquet this past December,
Okay. Well, guys, tell me, why did you guys get involved with Norristown Men of Excellence? What's the personal hook here for you guys?
The personal hook is that we have ties here. We were born here. It's like the more you put in, the more you're going to receive, kind of thing. I don't know if that makes any sense. We invested a bunch of our time, our lives here, and it's just something that when you put in so much time, you just want to see the outcome be positive and have a great respect for the finished product. And I think that's what we all have in common, that we all want to see a great, fine, polished finished product, and community wise and sense and pride within the people of that community.
And also I would kind of say that we benefited from this community as well. The people within the community molded us. So I feel kind of like we have a responsibility to give back to the town that kind of molded us to help us to get to where we are today.
Now, what do you see when you look at Norristown today? I mean, what do you guys see as far as your role being positive role models, being agents of change in the community? What do you see in Norristown when you look at it?
That's a good question.
That is.
I see a somewhat lack of leadership that could be there in proper roles that people play. I see everything that's going on outside of Norristown, and I'm always asking myself, how can that be Norristown?
I would kind of say the same thing. There's definitely change, though. There's definitely some change that's happening in Norristown. We just feel like, hey, when we're looking at other towns surrounding us, we definitely feel like that there can be more change and more development within the town.
Okay, well, we're going to get into that a little bit more on the next segment. You're listening to 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Talking to Norristown Men of Excellence here. Stay tuned. We're going to continue the conversation.
Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. This past Sunday was Father's Day, and as we salute all the dads out there, I'd like to also take a moment to extol the inestimable value of the role of father. For on Father's Day, we don't so much acknowledge the physical act that makes someone a father, but rather the ongoing nurturing, supportive, and guiding role that dads play in the lives of their children. In recent years, society has come to realize the vital, irreplaceable role that fathers play in the healthy upbringing of children. And yet, we face an epidemic of absentee fathers, uninvolved in the lives of their children or their children's mother. The answer? A stronger marriage culture that promotes marriage between a man and a woman, because every child deserves a mother and a father. Join with us in standing up for marriage and for moms and dads. I'm Michael Gear of the Pennsylvania Family Institute. To reach us, go to our website at pafamily.org.
Join me, Carla Dedesi, here every Friday from 8 until 9 for Your Family Matters. This is going to be an epic year, 2015, for Your Family Matters. We are going to continue to protect your family, your faith, while we are having fun. We're going to bring cutting-edge news to you, the current events, current resources, and tools that are going to give you the best family ever. So strap on your seatbelt and join me for this wild ride in 2015 on Your Family Matters every Friday morning. Don't miss us.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Mike Levins here along with Doug and Troy. And I have to apologize because I called Doug Troy. Or I thought Doug was Troy and I thought Troy was Doug. I got them mixed up. But got Doug and Troy with Norristown Men of Excellence joining us on the air today. And Norristown Men of Excellence, I think, is... We need more organizations. We need more groups like this. You were a group of men who grew up in Norristown, went to Norristown High School for the most part. You went off to college. A lot of you even in football teams abroad, but also in many areas of education, healthcare, hotel management, entrepreneurship, information technology, business, finance, youth programming, just every kind of field you could imagine, coming back now and reinvesting in Norristown. Now, you know, Norristown, unfortunately, it we all know this. You know, Norristown has been in the news sometimes, not for great things. You know, and you guys feel that you're able to come back and be able to contribute to the community in a positive way by being positive role models for that community, being strong, positive male role models. Now tell us again, you guys got a football clinic.
Yep.
It's happening this Saturday, 9 to 2, in Norristown High School?
Yes. Norristown High School, that's where the instruction will be located. Again, it's free to the community. We're looking roughly K through 12. We generally see that we see a lot of middle school kids there. Free t-shirt for the kids, free food for the kids. Great instruction from Division I, Division II athletes, and also we're pairing, like I said, we're teaming up with the Norristown area high school staff.
Also, to piggyback on that as well, we also are providing transportation for the kids at two central locations, one at the George Washington Carver in Norristown, and secondly at Stuart Middle School, roughly around 8:15 from the first spot and 8:30 from the second spot. So if anybody needs transportation to get to the location of the high school, they can meet at one of those two spots.
And those two spots, again, just one more time, the two middle schools?
Yes, this is George Washington Carver, located in Norristown, and we also have Stuart Middle School located on West Marshall Street in Norristown.
So George Washington Carver and Stuart Middle School. You could go there if you need transportation. That's going to be this Saturday from 9 to 2 at Norristown High School Football Clinic. Now, you both are football players as well. At least you played in college. So, Doug, you played at center.
Yep.
And then, Troy, you played as a running back at high school, but then you went in defense.
Yes.
In college. Correct. So, are you guys going to be at this clinic? Are you guys going to be teaching some stuff too?
Oh, yeah. You'll see us out there firsthand. I'll be out there. Hopefully, I don't pull any muscles or anything like that.
Well, I don't know. You never know. A high school athlete may just give you a run for your money there. So I hear some of these guys out there, they really know how to run and throw, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But generally, I believe the fourth annual event, and it's really a good time for the kids in the community. They really enjoy and we were actually surprised at a couple of the kids. Like, they really remember us, and they actually kind of look up to us in a way mm-hmm. that they kind of, and you would think that, hey, I haven't played high school football in roughly 15 years. But these kids remember, or their parents have told them, hey, that's Doug White, or that's Troy Swittenberg, or that's Trey Hadrick right there. So it's really interesting to see how these young kids really look up to us and recognize us.
And that's so important, that they have someone to look up to, and a lot of times they don't, and that's why you guys are doing what you're doing, being positive male role models in the community, which is so important. Because, you know, and we talked briefly about this off the air, but, you know, there are different things that have been in the headlines as far as different communities, whether it's Baltimore or Ferguson, and people saying, well, there's a lack of male leadership in those communities, or, you know, they're citing whatever reason for different problems, whether it was the riots or different things happening. But whatever that may be, though, you guys are coming in and you're being positive role models here in a local community, because you don't want any of that to happen here, and not that necessarily we're in danger of something like that happening, but you're just trying to make a positive change because you guys grew up here and you've seen the town change. You've seen it change from when you guys were here as high schoolers, and now you're coming back, you know, from college and being educated, having degrees in different areas of the professional workforce, yep. in reinvesting. How do you find that, not just at these events, but do you find that you guys influence a lot of kids?
I would say so. I would say in all areas as well. I think athletically we have an effect on these kids just through the football clinic and giving advice that way. But also we like the events that we run. We also have every Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving, we have a turkey drive. And that's where we give out, I think, roughly 75 to 100 turkeys to families within the community. And just to see the kids' faces when we actually deliver the turkey, or the parents' faces when we actually deliver the turkey, it's such a blessing. It's really believable. You would think that, hey, oh, it's just a turkey. But these people, the families, they really, really, really appreciate what we do. And when you see that and you see the effect that it'll have on a kid, it's just amazing.
I guess it's because they're going to be able to have a turkey for Thanksgiving, you know, something relatively simple that some of us may think about, but it means the world.
Yes. I would say so.
And like we do with some of our other events, like the scholarship ball that we hold every year. You know, we kind of randomly pick two kids from the Norristown Area School District that we actually give $1,000 to support them as far as their education, as well as an iPad as well, to kind of get everything started, just to see the kids' faces and what it means to them and their family. You know, something that's unexpected goes a longer way, should I say, as far as, like, you know, that element surprise, kind of putting it on their face. It kind of really helps out.
You know, it's not all bad news out there, because we talk a lot about different headlines here on this program, but it's not all bad news out there. There's a lot of good news happening, and this is some of the local good news happening. Norristown Men of Excellence. This is a great group. If someone's listening right now and they say, you know what, I want to get involved, I want to become a part, or figure out some way to volunteer, how would they be able to do that?
They can get in contact with us throughout a couple ways. They can leave a message on our phone, 484-284-0852. They can contact us by our website, nome19401.org. We have an Instagram too, nome19401. Twitter as well, at nome19401. The common theme is NOME, the acronym for Norristown Men of Excellence, 19401, our zip code in which we reside. And everything right there is pretty much self-explanatory. We have a great fundraiser that we have within our organization. It's called a 10 for 10. We're asking people inside and outside of our community to donate $10 a month for 10 months, or you can donate $100 in one setting, which you choose. And that kind of helps us fund some of these programs that we put on throughout the year, whether it be the scholarship ball, whether it be the turkey drive, whether it be the community awards, whether it be the football clinic, and other things outside of that. 100% of the proceeds all go back into the community. We don't take anything. We don't ask for anything. Everything is really, really appreciated, not through through us, and as well as the community as well too. We feel really good about it. We're happy, and I mean we feel just as happy as we was the first day as we are right now. So we're not settling for mediocrity right now. So.
Guys, it is such a pleasure to have you in studio today. Thank you so much for coming. That's NMOE19401.org, NMOE19401.org. We'll be back after this.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. A New York State prison guard's free on bail, accused of sneaking hamburger meat to two inmates who used tools hidden inside to escape. Gene Palmer's attorney, Andrew Brockway.
He had no knowledge that there were any contraband other than the meat itself. He had no knowledge that Joyce Mitchell had hidden contraband inside of the meat.
Joyce Mitchell's a prison tailor shop supervisor accused of knowingly helping David Sweat and Richard Matt escape June 6th. The prime minister of Greece meeting with his country's creditors with an unaffordable loan repayment due June 30th.
Greece owes 1.6 billion euro to the International Monetary Fund, and all of these agreements have got to be signed off by the Greek parliament and then the German parliament before they could be applied. So there's a lot of pressure here on the negotiators.
Sky News correspondent Robert Nisbet, Fox News, we report.
School property taxes are out of sight and going up almost every year. Even if you've paid off your mortgage, you haven't paid off the state of Pennsylvania. If you lose your job, you could lose your home too. But there is hope on the horizon. Harrisburg is considering a bill which will eliminate property taxes for school funding. It replaces it with a broad-based small increase in income taxes and sales taxes. This makes all Pennsylvanians responsible for school funding, not just property owners. Please join us at Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. for a town hall meeting to discuss how we can fully fund our schools without taxing people out of their homes. Town Hall Meeting, Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Admission is free.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The Korean War started this day, June 25th, 1950, when communists invaded South Korea, killing tens of thousands within the first week. General Douglas MacArthur was placed in command of the UN forces and quickly turned the war by a daring landing of troops at Incheon and recapturing the city of Seoul. Politicians limited the military from pursuing victory, and the war drug on 3 years with millions of casualties. General MacArthur stated, "History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
We just had a great group in studio this morning, Norristown Men of Excellence, and I am so encouraged. It's not all bad news out there today, people. It's really not. I had Doug and Troy with us, and they, you know, I didn't talk about this when we were talking on the air, but, you know, they're African Americans. They're black. You know, in Norristown Men of Excellence, I mean, I'm looking at the website, and all the men are black. And you know what? That is huge, because as we're facing all these different headlines, as we're facing, you know, everything that happened, and it's kind of dying out of the public spotlight now, you know, in Ferguson, Baltimore, but now we're dealing with the whole South Carolina church shooting and racism being thrown out into the thrust of the public spotlight, whether we're talking about the Confederate flag or just the shooting itself. And of course, I would argue that, you know, this is more spiritual. This is more spiritual than just purely a political issue. This is more of a spiritual issue, really, and that's what we need to focus on. If we don't focus on that, we're not really going to be changing a whole lot. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. But their website, again, is NMOE19401.org, and we're going to go ahead and put a link to this on our Facebook page, NMOE19401.org, Norristown Men of Excellence. And that's just an acronym for Norristown Men of Excellence, followed by the zip code for Norristown, 19401. org. They also have Twitter, Instagram. Handles are all the same. It's all NMOE19401.org. So get in touch, get involved, and see what they're doing in the community. This is a group to watch, and they are being positive male role models in the Norristown community, but it's so encouraging to me because because, and I, you know, I hate to say it, because I never look, and I always want to be colorblind. I never want to look at someone's race as a determiner of anything, quite frankly, other than just an attribute. But they are black men, and they're good men. More than just black men, they're good men. They're good men who have been educated in a wide variety of fields and who are role models for our community. And I commend them and the work that they're doing, and pray that they be blessed in what they're doing, because I believe it's crucial to the health of our community. And like I said, Norristown has unfortunately been in the news at times and had a bad reputation for different things, but this group of men who was born and raised here in Norristown, a lot of them went to Norristown High School, is coming back from their collegiate educations, and they are working here for the better. So there is good news out there, and Doug and Troy were an example of that good news. I was so privileged to have them in studio today, because it is such a great encouragement to me that they are being strong male role models in their community, and in the black community in particular as well. Because the black community, and we've talked about it here on the air before, how there has been, and statistically, whether you want to say it's statistically, whether you want to say it's just from experience, but statistically, we do know that there are more broken families in the African-American community, and I've made the correlation to those broken families being a correlation to increasing crime, unfortunately, and how they're working to change that. And that is absolutely extraordinary. And we commend them again. Norristown Men of Excellence, get involved, donate, volunteer. It's NMOE19401.org. Some great men of great stature. Two of them came into the studio today, Doug and Troy. So if you'd like to call in, 610-539-TALK, the number to call, 610-539-TALK. Mike Levin's here, who going on more of the headlines. You know, while we're talking about the issue of racism and what that has done to our country, well, if I may, for a moment, let's talk about this Confederate flag issue now. The Confederate flag, for many, represents a symbol of racism, hatred, but also for others represents a symbol of Southern pride, and, if you can believe it or not, completely detached from racism. Now, some would say that you cannot separate the Confederate flag from racism in any stretch of the imagination. It has been used by such groups as the Ku Klux Klan, which is known for nothing other than their racism. But it has been thrust into the spotlight because of its use of the South Carolina killer, Dylann Roof, in different photos he took before the shooting in the South Carolina church. Now, I've spoken and said that this is more of a spiritual issue than purely a race issue, because racism is hatred. Now, Christianity, Jesus, taught to love your neighbor as yourself. And if we live by that, then racism has no place in our lives. It has no place of existence in our lives. Racism is fruit of a bad tree. That's what racism is. It all deals with the heart. We can legislate our ways as much as we'd like, but we're not going to be able to legislate ourselves out of a paper bag, because eventually it all comes down to men's hearts, men and women. If our hearts are not changed, you could write as many laws as you want, people are still going to break them. We're seeing that in our nation today. The hearts of men are growing cold in our nation. Laws don't matter anymore. Whether it's the one law that comes to mind being immigration, many people violating the laws of immigration in this nation, entering the country illegally, and now are being touted as, well, they should be honored for that, and they should be rewarded for that. Not to say that they're probably not people who are seeking a decent living and are trying to get away from horrible situations, not saying that at all. But their acts still are illegal. And promoting that, or whether it is actions by our leaders that defy law, whether it be the Constitution, whether it be Supreme Court or local courts legislating from the benches, law has lost place in our lives. We're seeing that happen in our nation, and law does not mean a hill of beans if it's not tied to conviction in the heart. And that's something only God can do. That's something only Christ can do. The gospel is the one answer. So going back to the Confederate flag, racism is an issue of the heart. Now, I believe this Confederate flag issue, this is a side issue, and this is distracting from the real issues in our community. A lot of people are saying, take it down, it has no place in our society. Okay, we could debate that, and we could do that long-windedly and lose all of our strength talking about a non-issue. I think most people would say that the Confederate flag, because honestly, even in the South, a minority of people fly the Confederate flag, even in the South. I lived there, lived in Florida for many years. Now, a lot of Northerners are in Florida, but I would say even in other parts of the South, too. I would guarantee you that it's a minority that fly the Confederate flag or that even support it because it's from a conflict that's over 100 years old. Now, it's a symbol of racism in one stretch. It's also a symbol of Southern pride. It's a symbol of rebellion. It's a symbol of the Confederacy. But here's just a little factoid about the flag, and this has kind of been reported on. The Confederate flag is actually the Confederate battle flag. It was made so that troops, and the one that we know is the Confederate flag, because there's more than just the one that we know. It's been called the Stars and Bars. It was so troops on the battlefield could identify Confederate troops apart from the Union, because I guess their flag at the time looked very similar to the Union Stars and Stripes. The flag that we conventionally know is the American flag. So the Stars and Bars was created. So really it was a flag that was meant for battle. So it wasn't necessarily, to my knowledge, I do not believe it's what actually represented the Confederacy, but really was just used in battle. Now, the fact that that has become the flag of choice, that's another story, that has become the flag of choice for Southern pride and heritage and even racism. That's another story entirely, but that's just a little fact to take into all this as well, that this is the battle flag of the Confederacy. This is not, to my knowledge, the one that was the standard flag flown. It was merely meant, in its purpose at least, from its inception, to be flown in battle for distinguishing. And that's why it is unique, being the Stars and Bars. But I think this is a side issue. I do. That's my take on it. 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And if we let ourselves get distracted by it, we're going to miss the real issues in our community. Like the one that the Norristown Men of Excellence are working to correct. Being able to restore families and positive influence in our community. We're going to miss those issues, and we're going to miss acting to help those issues. So I want to go back. We're talking about the Supreme Court. There are some other things that the Supreme Court is going to be discussing and ruling on the next couple of days. Of course, the Affordable Care Act, but also same-sex marriage. But there's also some other things that you should know about. Looking at an NBC article, lethal injection. And just to read, lethal injection, but also redistricting. That's, and you're going to want to hear this because there's a dispute over districting. It's what determines a lot of votes, what can determine an election as far as which districts swing another way. Redistricting, of course, has been responsible for a lot of political meddling in order to get the upper hand in elections merely by drawing ludicrous district lines in order to get different people groups or different voters and consolidate them in different districts in order to get a better chance to win an election. So we're going to talk about that here in the next segment on 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. You know what we haven't done in a long time? A daily facepalm. That's going to be coming up next as well. So stay right there.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Call 1-855-GO-4B.
Did you get hit hard by the storm? Do you have storm damage to your home or business? Hi, I'm Gary Volpe, and Volpe Enterprises is who you should call to help with emergency services. If your roof or siding has been damaged, we can provide temporary repairs until permanent repairs can be made. We have expert crews that will assess your situation and provide a plan of action. We will work with your insurance company to assure that your property is protected. Call 855-GO-VOLPE for our rapid repair service. There are bound to be many calls for the storm, so call now. You will have peace of mind knowing that Volpe Enterprises will handle the storm-related issues from beginning to end. That number again is 855-468-6573 or
call 1-855-GO-VOLPE. Volpe Enterprises.
Well, welcome back to the program. We're talking about redistricting here on 1180 WFYL. It's the Supreme Court's going to be ruling on it, so we got to talk about it. 610-539-TALK, the number to call, 610-539-TALK. Well, the court's going to decide an issue looking at an NBC article that goes to the very founding of the U.S. Who controls the creation of congressional districts? Yay, everyone said. Arizona voters passed a constitutional amendment in 2000 stripping the legislature of the power to draw districts and giving to an independent redistricting commission. It's meant to avoid gerrymandering, which if you do not know what gerrymandering is the habit of legislators to draw bizarrely shaped districts that give their party's candidates the best shot at winning. The legislature went to court pointing out that Article 1 of the Constitution specifies that, quote, the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof, and that only Congress, not state bodies, can change that. Who will be taking care of creating congressional districts? So, this is going to either keep the status quo of gerrymandering, which I would garner to say has a huge influence in our elections. Would it be that bad to actually have an independent body focused on districting, redistricting, and removing it completely from the legislators? Now, they do have constitutional backing here. It would take a constitutional amendment, I would think, to change this. it would be inappropriate if the court ruled, I believe, over what the Constitution says, because Article 1 of the Constitution is pretty clear. It specifies that, quote, the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Pretty plainly puts it in the power of the legislature. And quite honestly, for any change to happen to how districting is done, it would have to be an amendment to the Constitution itself. But seeing as the rat's in charge of the cheese, the legislature would have to approve the amendment to the Constitution in order to give up their power of redistricting. Yeah, right. Like, that's going to happen. But nonetheless, it's an issue and probably decides many elections. Gerrymandering. Arizona voters, though, apparently passed it. A constitutional amendment in Arizona in 2000, stripping the legislature of the power to draw districts and giving to an independent redistricting commission. It meant to avoid gerrymandering. Now, the other question is, can the federal government influence how state governments are working? And that's the other big issue here. Because Arizona, this was the Arizona legislature. This is not federal. This is a state issue. And it's being ruled in a federal court. Why is a state issue for a state legislature being ruled by a federal court of the United States? Why would it even be allowed to get to this certain point? This is completely out of their jurisdiction if you looked at it from a state rights point of view. Arizona voters passed this amendment in 2000. This was passed, so somehow their legislature passed this amendment, and it was challenged by some. Why else would it be in court? But now being ruled in the federal government, so the question, does the federal government determine how states conduct their business? The age-old debate of states' rights. But states' rights being taken to a whole different issue. States were meant to be almost independent countries. When you have their legislatures being determined by federal courts, you're taking all of that right away from them. Well, moving now from matters to freedom to, well, quite frankly, something else. I'm ready for it. Are you ready for it? It's been a long time and a long time coming. It's time for your daily facepalm. A man tried, but he failed in an attempt to prove that women are wimps. This article comes from mirror.co.uk in the experiment that would go down in the ages of what would be the test of the will of men. The man in question is Brandon Cohen, who is with Bro Bible, and recently ventured on an experiment. This Los Angeles-based video correspondent wanted to prove that girls are huge complainers by wearing high heels. And in his attempt, he tried, but after 11 hours, ooh, 11 hours, he collapsed in agony, exclaiming, in an original effort to prove that girls are huge complainers and wearing heels isn't that bad, he decided to buy a pair himself and change the heel game forever, a quote from Brandon. Unfortunately, he was met in defeat. A video on Bro Bible's YouTube channel has him saying, I am already in so much pain, it's astounding, as soon as he puts the things on. Unfortunately, things didn't play out quite as I expected. In short, it was the worst day of my life, saying, oh God, as he hobbles out of the building while attracting the stares of passersby who either photograph or avoid him. He's in blue jeans and a t-shirt, and then he's got the most ornate stiletto high heels while wearing a backpack. I wouldn't know what to make of the man, because you don't know. You look at the man and you go, okay, is he, does he go that way? Because he got a regular haircut. His clothes aren't really different. He's just wearing high heels. That's what I would think. apparently felt that it... Let me see here. Apparently, by 12:30 p.m., he felt homicidal, saying, quote, like, I want to kill everybody. This is just not safe. Likening wearing high heels to Chinese foot scrunching? Where I don't know if you know what that is, with the Chinese foot binding. That's what it is. But in modern form, I literally can't stand it anymore. My legs are shaking. And he failed with this. I want death. Please let me die. I'm going to take some Advil and go to sleep. He tried, but he failed to prove that women are wimps. Yeah, that's your daily face bump for today. Men have a new respect for women after reading this article. Go ahead, do a little dance there in here. Yep. I'm never going to be blazing enough to try something like that. I just want to let you know out from the get-go. It gives up in agony. Well, there you go. There's your point of wisdom. There's something that, as men, we could learn from this. Don't try to be a woman. There's something that, as men, we could learn from this. Don't try to be a woman. Just don't do it. There are certain burdens that are meant for men to carry. There are certain burdens that are meant for women to carry. And women hate high heels, but yet they wear them. You know what? I think high heels are nice, but if you think about high heels in one way, high heels are kind of weird, too. Because you got these big sticks underneath your foot. Have you ever thought about it that way? They're kind of weird as well. I mean, they could look nice and stuff, but they're also, it's like something very abnormal attached to the bottom of your heel. Well, that's the program for today. Thank you for listening. Mike Levins here, Laura Ingram coming on at 9. And remember, with all these things, all these headlines, even men wearing high heels to prove that women are wimps and failing, that Jesus Christ is Lord, no matter what, no matter how dark things may get or whatever headlines come by. Remember that. We'll see you next week, 7 to 9 on It's a New Day.
Have you checked out our podcasts on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.